had a conversation one time with a friend who considered himself basically Christian, but dabbled in Zen. And he asked me, what is it that Buddhists believe? And he added, don't say something vague like Dharma. He wanted something specific. So I told him something specific, and we believe that the Buddha was awakened. Because that's an event that has implications for our lives, many implications. He showed that it is possible through human effort to find true happiness. In fact, it's the people who hold themselves to high standards in their pursuit of happiness who lie at the forefront of the human race. They're the ones who bring progress, because they bring hope into the world. It is possible to find a happiness that is not subject to conditions, is not going to be subject to the economy, not subject to the environment, not subject to the whims of the rich and powerful. Something that every person can find within themselves. We also believe that the wisdom of the Buddha's awakening is the highest expression of wisdom. And as he said, wisdom or discernment begin with the question, what when I do it will lead to my long-term harm and pain? What when I do it will lead to my long-term welfare and happiness? What's unskillful? What's blameworthy? What is skillful? What's blameless? What's wise about that first question about long-term welfare and happiness coming through actions is a realization that long-term happiness is possible, and it comes through your actions. And of course, long-term is better than short-term. And it's from that question that the Buddha set forth three perceptions that are useful to know as you're checking on anything to see if it really counts as a worthwhile happiness. One, is it constant or inconstant? If it's inconstant, of course, it's not going to be long term. Two, is it easeful or stressful? If it's stressful, then again, it's not going to be happiness. If something is inconstant and stressful, why identify with it as you or yours? That relates, of course, to the word, what when I do it will lead to my long-term welfare and happiness. And most people are content with relatively long-term or relatively happy happiness. But the Buddha wanted an absolute. He wanted something that was free from aging, illness, and death, something that was free from all conditions, free from all restrictions, even the restrictions of space and time. And he found that it is possible to find that happiness. And that's why he taught those three perceptions. As you're practicing, you want to apply them to anything that comes up that you say, might this be my happiness? Well, no, it's inconstant. Well, in that case, no. Or is it stressful? It's outside of my control. Why hold on to that as your happiness? Try to look for something better. Hold yourself to high standards, too. That way you're being true to your heart. And also a good example to the world, because as I said, it's the people who hold themselves to high standards like this in the pursuit of happiness that show that it is possible to find happiness that is blameless. In other words, it harms nobody. And it's skillful. The effort you put into it is more than repaid. And so whatever you do in that direction is for your benefit and for the benefit of others. You know, whether you go all the way, you want to keep that as your direction. This is why the Buddha began the practice with generosity, virtue, and the development of goodwill, because these are harmless ways of finding happiness. They may not be totally able to bring you to the deathless, but they are, one, they are conducive, and at the very least they're a form of happiness that is harmless. It harms nobody when you're generous. It harms nobody when you're virtuous. Finding well-being and thoughts of universal goodwill causes no harm at all. This is very different from the happiness as defined by the world in terms of gain, status, praise, physical pleasures. Happiness of that sort usually means that somebody gains, somebody else has to lose. And it's because of the pursuit of that kind of happiness that there's so much trouble in the world. As the Buddha said, it's through our fascination with sensuality that there are quarrels within the family, quarrels within society, wars between nations. Because we're looking for happiness in something like that. Whereas an act of generosity doesn't create any conflict at all. Observing the precepts, there may be some people who are unhappy that you're observing a particular precept, but you're not harming them. Of course, with goodwill. There's no poison in goodwill at all. It teaches you to overcome your likes and dislikes and wish for the well-being of all, regardless of whether you like the person or don't like the person, regardless of that person's past. Think of the case of Angulimala. He killed hundreds of people. And yet the Buddha saw that he had potential. And rather than just leaving him to his fate, he was able to teach the Dharma in such a way that Angulimala was not going to have to suffer in the lower realms. Now there were a lot of people who were unhappy with that, because literally he was getting away with murder. But then their desire to see him punished you compare that with the Buddha's goodwill to see him escape, regardless of what his past was. That's what goodwill means. A lot of harm is done in the world by people who want to see justice done. But if you can find a way that people can learn how to behave skillfully and stop doing unskillful things, that's much better than just punishing people, because punishment doesn't go very far. Some people learn that lesson, a lot of people don't. But thinking of the true well-being of others, you're fostering your own well-being too. You're making your mind a much larger mind, a mind like a Brahma, which may not be the ultimate, but it's much better than the normal human mind. And as you're able to develop that expansive state, you may begin to notice exactly what is limiting about that. It is something that's fabricated. So there's some inconstancy there. There is some stress. That's why the Buddha said that is not the ultimate. It's not going to be your welfare and happiness. So you keep on working, keeping the Buddha's awakening in mind that it is possible to find something better. This is one of the reasons why this is the focus of conviction in the Buddhist teachings. Because you can get to better and better states of mind as you meditate, And you might be afraid, well, this must be as good as it gets. If I let go of this, there'll be nothing, or I'll fall back. Remember the Buddha's example. Anything that has the slightest bit of inconstancy, stress, not self, it's not good enough. And there is something better. That's what the awakening holds out as a promise. So it's up to us to decide how far we want to take that promise. And even if we don't go all the way, always keep it in mind, it is a possibility. Because people live in the world without seeing that possibility. It's a very dark world. I say the world is swept away. See how many people get swept away with it. And when there's no one in charge, you see how a lot of people say, well, there's nobody to say that what I'm doing is wrong, and they'll do all kinds of wrong. And if that's all you see in the world, it's a miserable place to be. And it wouldn't inspire you to do anything noble. It wouldn't inspire you to do anything that really is skillful and blameless. But having the example of the Buddha and the noble disciples, keeping that in mind, that provides light, as people would say in the time of the Buddha when they heard the Dharma from him. He was like someone who had brought a lamp into the dark. A lot of these people who live in the darkness don't realize how dark it is, because they've seen no genuine light. When we see the light of the Dharma, see the promise that it holds, we should always hold to that as a possibility, always have conviction in that, regardless of how far we're able to go in this lifetime. Because that promise is what nurtures our goodness, nurtures all the good things within us. Because you see far too many people giving up on goodness when they see the darkness of the world. But when you realize, okay, there is some brightness, it's like water to nurture your goodness, to help it grow. Think of a John Fuang. Orphaned at an early age, not much of an education, and not much of a future. And then he met a John Lee. And as he told me, it was through John Lee that he saw the brightness of life. So always keep that in mind. There is a brightness in life. And as long as there is that possibility, there's always hope. And that's what the Buddha's awakening represents. Which is why we have conviction in it, and why it is the focus of our conviction. Something very specific always to keep in mind.